It's the Bengal Financial Literacy Show coming up next on KISU FM Radio with our host, Chris Chatwin, professor with the Idaho State University College of Business.
Thank you for joining us for this month's episode of the Bengal Financial Literacy Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Chatwin, coming to you from KISU Studios at Idaho State University. I have with me today our guest, Tim Anderson from the accounting department here at the university. Tim, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here, Chris.
Always a pleasure. It's end of year. We're always going to do this show end of year, beginning of year to talk everybody's favorite subject, taxes.
Yeah, let's spread a little Christmas cheer, won't we?
Spread a little Christmas cheer if you're listening to this before the holiday. If you wait until just after, we'll have information for you as well for January and beyond. But wherever you are, we're spreading joy. Because taxes should be joy, I guess.
That's right.
For some they are, and for some they aren't.
Yeah. Some people, it's a second Christmas.
Yeah, that's true. Or for some people, it's how we pay off Christmas. we're going to rack up all this Christmas debt, and come February, we're going to pay it off.
And, you know, for some of the tax planning I've been doing for clients, I've told them, cancel Christmas.
So you're Scrooge. You're Scrooge. But, hey, no fault of yours. That's just you being a good tax advisor.
Yeah.
Helping to avoid some pain. Well, Tim, I've got you on the show. Obviously, we're talking taxes. We're talking year end. We're talking VITA. We're talking, you know, things in 2025 and beyond. I want you to be able to talk about anything you want to talk about. So I'm turning time over to you, and I'll interrupt on occasion.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. Yeah. I think as far as the tax world goes, we're probably on the cusp of seeing some big things happen with the administration change in Washington, having Republicans control Congress. There's a lot of opportunity here. We kind of saw a little bit of it in 2017 with the Trump tax changes, but I think we're in for a ride.
In for a ride. A good ride?
I
guess it depends where you
are,
right?
It depends on where you are.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly you have to be able to pay for this, but if we could, I'd like to just start off by talking about our VITA program.
Okay,
here,
absolutely.
On ISU's campus.
That is the main reason for having you here, so let's talk VITA.
And honestly, it's really a highlight of what I do here at Idaho State. Love it. So Idaho State has partnered with the Internal Revenue Service in that we offer a free tax service to the community. It's called VITA, Volunteer Income Tax Assistance. And the IRS started it years ago in an effort to give lower income people the opportunity to have their taxes prepared for free by competent tax preparers, mm-hmm. and help them out that way. If you look at what it costs now to have a tax return professionally prepared, yeah. I mean, especially here in Eastern Idaho, a lot of companies have gone to a $500 minimum.
Yeah.
You know, and $500 is a big deal to a lot of people.
Absolutely.
To have that done. So to fill that niche, we've got a VITA program here on campus. And what we'll do is, starting the last Thursday in January, we'll open up our shop on a Thursday night. And then we'll take walk-ins every Thursday night, clear up until March.
That usually goes up to like spring break here at the university.
Yeah, the week before spring break, we'll close it down just to give our student volunteers a chance to
recharge
from all the work. But it's a great opportunity. The focal point is, you know, if someone's making $60,000 or less, mm-hmm. their family, certainly come in, we'll help you out. If you've got a lot of technical things going on, we may have to refer you somewhere else. You know, if you've got a lot of outside investments, partnership investments.
Not doing business returns.
Yeah, not doing business returns. But
again, very much a program to help assist those that kind of truly need it. Lower income, those who don't want to pay the $500. Even for those who are like, well, I know it's almost college bowl season. I know as you watch all those college bowl games, you're going to be inundated, as I am every year as I watch college football, with all of the free tax preparation services. And, you know, I could do it myself, but people always ask me, what's the best software? And software is only as good as you are. Like, if you're going to take the time to ask the questions, it might be good. Otherwise, you could get in some problems.
Exactly. And, you know, the free offerings quite often are a misnomer.
Yes.
Maybe you get your federal return done for free.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do about the state?
I know Intuit that does TurboTax faced a pretty hefty fine for kind of misleading a lot of consumers with that.
Exactly.
So here's a great opportunity for, hey, I need some assistance, or I'd like some assistance, or even I'd like a second opinion from somebody who's competent and not have to pay for it. And that's a great service.
So. Right. So if anybody out there is interested in coming, we would love to have you bring your tax documents. And most people should be familiar with what they need to gather, some sort of third-party documentation that, you know, you've earned money. Mm-hmm. You know, that would be your W-2s from your employer, your distribution documents from your retirement accounts. So
like the 1099.
Yeah, if you have some investments, there will be a brokerage statement that comes. Companies are required to have all those issued by the end of January, so...
Basically, any mail you get in January, even into February, open it all, even if it looks like junk mail.
Yeah, and bring it in. I mean, it's we've got a great team of trained students here. It's an incredible experience for the students to sit down and put into practice things they've been learning in their tax classes. And it gets reviewed by higher level trained people. And you get the chance to ask some questions.
Yeah, I think that's one of the, not safety nets, but maybe a feeling of peace or security to individuals, you know, instead of saying, oh, this is an accounting student. Yes, it's an accounting student who's been trained in all this, but then it goes through higher level review. Professors, I know we have some volunteers, retired CPAs that have come in and reviewing these before they're finally sent out. So great experience for the students to get that hands-on. A peace of mind, that's the word I was looking for. Peace of mind to the individuals knowing that, okay, yes, it's a student preparing it who has been trained and who's passed a competency exam, and it's going to get reviewed even further to make sure it's done accurately.
Yeah, and I want to emphasize the point that, you know, we're prepared to handle a lot of people, to do a lot of returns this year, and I've got a commitment from some of our Spanish speakers.
Oh, excellent.
That we will be able to accommodate native Spanish speakers who are more comfortable communicating that way.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, plan on coming in.
So Thursday nights, that'll start you said the third week in January?
Yeah.
Okay, so Thursday nights, and still going to be at the Rendezvous?
It will.
So the Rendezvous is the building right across the street from the library here on campus. Second floor, I assume they haven't changed too much on here, or maybe we don't know yet.
It's going to be the same room.
Same
in
room.
That computer lab, the you know, the biggest challenge to it all is finding good parking.
Which it's in the evenings, right? So, you know, you don't have to pay to park. You don't need a permit.
That's right.
So, but still, you might, if it's cold, you're walking across the street. Well, that's excellent. What more about Vita? Anything more we want to stress there?
So, one thing that kind of concerned me was, you know, last year was my first year going through it.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed...
Now, with that said, years of experience as a CPA at a very large CPA firm. So it isn't just,
right.
Hey, this is my first year handling taxes. No.
Thank you for clarifying
first
that.
First year leading the VITA program after Don, who'd done it for years and years, had moved away.
Yes, thank you for clarifying that. I have been...
We just got to make sure our listeners know, okay, wait a minute. You said competent, and then first year.
Right. No, so yes, I've been doing this for 33 years now. But last year, we had a handful of people come in that had purchased solar systems for their houses.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought in their paperwork because they were promised that the government would help pay for their solar panels.
Through credits, right?
Yeah, through the incredible energy credit that's out there. And I'm not going to diss the credit that's out there.
Because it's certainly out there.
It is. But maybe the salesmen aren't as forthcoming as they should be that, yes, there is a credit available to offset your taxes. But if you don't owe taxes anyway, it's not a refundable credit.
Yeah, so you're not getting that money back.
Right.
And I know a lot of times the programs will kind of build into the price, the they reduce the price up front with the expectation that that credit comes back to them, or and now you're left foot in the bill.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the sales point being, okay, you're going to pay full price for this package, but when it comes time for you to file your taxes, you're going to get a giant credit. But, you know, like I said a moment ago, it's not refundable. So if you're not paying taxes already, you're stuck with the full price bill for your solar system. So
being aware of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I maybe it's because I'm kind of a jerk. Every time I get the salespeople at my door that want to talk to me about the credits, I always try and quiz them on it. But my best answer to anyone, you know, whether it's giving to charity, you know, a lot of charities come around this time and say, hey, well, it's a tax deductible contribution that you're making. Well, it might be. And hey, you're going to get a credit for this. No, you might get a credit. You always need to understand there's not a guaranteed credit. There's not a guaranteed deduction. There's varying factors because everybody's taxes are different. So
that's right. That's right. Some ideas I had that we might cover, just people hopefully can do before the end of the year.
Yeah, we got to do some tax planning. Some people are going to hear this end of December. They've just blown their Christmas budget, and now they're wondering, okay, how do I save some tax money?
So a popular thing to do is if you can, you know, I know Eastern Idahoans are charitable people.
Mm-hmm.
Virtually everybody I meet with, they will tell me that, yeah, we're in the habit of giving to charities that we really feel strongly about. And so most people get that. One thing that happened with the 2017 Trump tax changes was everybody's standard deduction effectively got doubled.
Yeah.
So now for a married couple to itemize deductions, they need to have approximately $29,000 for 2024. And that's a combination of state income taxes they paid, charitable contributions they made, mortgage interest they paid. And so for a lot of people, the idea of itemizing deductions has disappeared.
Yeah,
just as
gone.
You mentioned, that it's not a guaranteed thing that they're going to get a deduction.
Yeah.
One vehicle that's come out in recent years is called the Donor Advised Fund. And so what this does, it allows you to set up an account where you put all of your charitable contributions and you control that account. And the nice thing is you get a deduction as soon as you put money into that account, but you can decide when those funds are distributed and who they get distributed to. So as long as they go to a qualified charity,
I was going to say it probably still has to be a 501c, you know, a qualified charity. Can't be, hey, I'm going to distribute this to my spouse.
That's right. That's right. So, you know, for clients that I work with on a regular basis, I encourage them to fund that account every so often. So you know what? We're going to give, we're in the habit of giving $5,000, $10,000 a year anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we just fund that every 3 or 4 years or so? And in that year we fund it, we can get our, we can get more than the standard deduction.
Mm-hmm.
So this donor advised fund gives you a lot of flexibility to say, you know what? Every fourth year, we're just going to plan on putting in as much as we can.
Kind of tuck the money aside and then put it in.
Yeah, so you get the deduction sometime.
I know I've had some clients that I've advised that might be making you know, large contributions, whether it was to a church or to another organization, and said, well, why not double those up in 1 year? You know?
I think a lot of people have had some really good returns from the market this year. And
hopefully. If they're doing all right.
And maybe this is an opportunity for them to set up a donor advised fund before December 31st and just sock a bunch of those profits away for future giving, and they could get the deduction this year.
Not a bad idea.
And along that line, I wanted to put in a plug for the Idaho credit. Now, going back again to what Chris said a moment ago was, you know, there are deductions that you use to calculate your taxable income. And then there are tax credits that are dollar for dollar reductions of your tax liability.
Yeah, there's an important distinction there, right? Deduction versus credit.
So Idaho is unique in that they have a special credit for people who donate to educational institutions. And it's a 50% credit, but it also allows you to double dip in a sense that if you're already itemizing deductions
on the federal side, right?
You get to take your itemized deductions and you get to take a credit
on the Idaho side.
Yes. So this has a $2,000 limit for a married couple. So if a married couple were to give $2,000 to a school, they could get a credit for 50% of that, or $1,000 off of their Idaho tax. Plus, if they're itemizing their deductions already, and say they were in the top tax bracket of 37%, mm-hmm. and then you have 6% state Idaho on that as well, you have 43%. So that...
You're saving some money.
The $1,000 credit plus 43 cents on your $2,000 deduction.
If you're in the top tax bracket, you got an opportunity to give away $2,000 to, I don't know, Idaho State University, KISU.
Exactly.
You know, support the show or any other show that you love out here. And if you're in a top bracket, you almost get to do it for nothing.
I always tell people that $2,000 deduction may cost you $500 after
all the benefits. And that's, again, the credit on the Idaho side, you get the 50%.
That's right.
The federal we're talking about only if you itemize, which obviously is going to be unique to every individual. The tax rate's going to be unique to every individual. You could be in a 10% bracket and not get as big a benefit. But the 50% credit on the Idaho, that is for everyone.
That's right. I will qualify it and say it's not a refundable credit.
Not refundable, so if you owe no tax, just like with the solar panel.
But if you're looking for some last-minute giving to do, certainly consider a school. And this can be, I just wrote down the list from the Idaho Tax Commission's website. It's a donation to a nonprofit, public or private elementary, secondary, or higher education school. So your neighborhood elementary, you could give money there.
And I assume that has to be somewhat official. I can't just, I mean, it's candy gram week in my child's elementary. I can't just buy $2,000 worth of candy grams and call it good.
Well, years ago, I decided, you know what? I'll donate the cash.
Uh-huh.
Because heaven forbid, I don't need the candy. But, and you know, schools love that.
Yeah.
Also on this list is Idaho Public Television. That qualifies as the educational entity. Mm-hmm. Any library in the state of Idaho would qualify for this credit. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's a good way to get most bang for your buck.
Yeah.
Some last minute planning.
If you're, and it's good timing. I actually had this discussion in my personal finance class today about charitable giving and what is the basically number one or only reason you should give to charity. And
there's said taxes.
Well, there's always somebody who's like, well, the tax benefit. And my answer is always, no, you should give to charity because it fits your values and it's what you want to do. Now, if you get a sweet tax benefit with it, that's just makes that warm, fuzzy feeling you got just all the warmer, I guess, right?
Or if it allows you to increase your donation.
Or if it allows you to increase because, hey, I was only going to give this, but because of the tax benefit, I can give this much and have the same financial burden or impact to myself. So
exactly. Yeah.
You give because it fits your values and what you want to do. If there's a sweet perk, that's just gravy.
Perfect.
And I love gravy as a Canadian.
The last thing that I had on my list to bring up was, I know most everybody's aware of this, but Idaho allows their residents to take back some of the money they pay during the year on the groceries they buy. Idaho uses a grocery sales tax to fund a lot of programs, but they also offer a grocery credit. And if you're filing an Idaho tax return, it's pretty much automatic.
Yeah, it's on there.
If you're not 65 yet, everybody in your house gets $120 a year as a credit, and that is refundable. It goes up after you're 65. But I want people to know that if you're not required to file an Idaho income tax return because your taxable income is low enough, you still are eligible to claim your share of the grocery credit on another form outside of filing a tax return.
A simpler form. And I assume at VITA we can help with that as well?
Yes, we've added that service, and people can just come in and fill out that form. We've got them available.
Just need to fill out for the grocery credit.
That's right.
Yeah, we're somewhat unique. Not every state taxes groceries. We tax all groceries, but that's the, I guess, the kickback is you get a little bit of money back on the state tax return.
That's right.
Now, if you're on food stamps, you don't qualify for that credit. Is that correct?
Right. There are some qualifications for it, but you know, by and large, most people can get it.
Yeah, qualify for the full or for at least some, depending on.
Yeah, and if you're a part year resident.
Mm-hmm. Now, on a part year resident, for anyone who might have moved, you know, we get a lot of people moving in from California, from Washington, from other states, and they need to know about this credit. If they moved in 2024 and are considered part time because they were only here half the year, that time it is not refundable. Is that correct?
Well, it's actually prorated.
Prorated.
If you are filing an Idaho return as a non-resident, you don't qualify.
Don't qualify because you didn't live here.
Right. But if you
officially
moved here during the year and your intentions are to put down roots, certainly.
So grocery credit, everybody needs to be aware of. Understanding the difference between a deduction and a credit. Also understanding that just because you're told it's a tax deduction or it's a tax credit isn't a guarantee. So making sure you've done some research or a little digging. Hopefully whoever's told you about this is forthright or at least knows enough to answer the questions.
Yeah, and I think, you know, across the board guarantees, unless they're looking at your exact situation,
yeah,
you should be suspect.
It's real tough to guarantee anything, yeah, except death and taxes. And here we are with taxes. So we can guarantee that there is taxes.
And the next show will be on death.
Oh, yeah. I'll have to have Dave Bagley back to talk estate planning and, you know, come full circle on those two inevitables in life. All right. Well, anything else on your mind, Tim?
Nope. So looking ahead.
Looking ahead.
Yeah. I did not bring the crystal ball today, but I would expect that in the next 6 months, we are going to see a lot of tax changes coming down just because when Donald Trump was able to pass his tax reform in his first term as president.
2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act officially
titled, right? And the tax laws are required to be neutral, revenue neutral.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever savings you give to the American public has to be paid for somehow. And the way they got this through was to say, we will put a end date on this. And by and large, most of those tax changes will expire December 31st of 2025. So we're coming up against a major change. So there is a lot of pressure on this new administration to
extend, retool.
That's right. Because it was a major change.
Yeah.
I mean, the largest tax change since 1986.
Yeah.
That happened in 2017. So some of the more significant ones that we're expecting are, you know, again, this doubling of the standard deduction. That's mm-hmm. going to expire. Some of the reduced tax rates that came through on that are going to expire.
Mm-hmm.
So absent anything else, tax rates will go up.
Go up.
The increased child credit will affect a lot of people.
A lot of people. I mean, that was bad enough when temporarily they were increased for COVID. People got used to, hey, I got a much bigger tax refund because I had an increased tax credit, and then it went away because that was just a one-year increase.
That's right.
So this is going to be bad enough if people have been used to since 2017-18 this larger tax credit for children, if that goes away and reduces down to what it was before.
Exactly. So, yeah, you're right.
So, you know, that's obviously at least a year down the road, but people should be thinking about it now because it'll affect their future.
It should. And just for, I mean, to put some keywords out there for people to watch or to listen for in the news,
mm-hmm.
just so you know what's happening and what's coming. Another one is the increased lifetime exclusion amount for estate taxes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one other tax system that the United States has besides its income tax is estate tax. So if a person that is worth a certain amount of money dies, the transfer of those assets could be subject to an estate tax. And the 2017 tax changes doubled the amount.
Increased it substantially.
And here again, if nothing happens, it's going to go back to previous levels at the end of 2025. So
which means you could pass away and a significant portion of those assets be taxed and not pass on.
Exactly. If you've been putting off doing some estate planning or gifting according to an established estate plan, you need to think about your timing and whether or not you need to be doing something before the end of 2025.
So a lot to think about. Obviously, the immediate is, hey, I need to be thinking about my tax situation. What documents do I need to gather? Hey, I want to get some help. I'm going to go see Vida Thursday nights starting in January. I get that free assistance. But then thinking about the future and moving forward, and it just kind of sounds like you and I are going to be doing another show here sometime next year, because there'll be some kind of change, either an extension with some retooling or a major overhaul.
Yeah, I think the Republicans have a green light at this point. And, you know, like I said, I'm expecting probably some drastic changes.
Yeah. Well, Tim, always a pleasure to have you on the show. I enjoy your wealth of knowledge that comes not just from 1 year, but from 33 years of tax experience that you have brought to the university these last couple of years as we've, you know, pulled you from the profession into education. We're pleased to have you, and you continue doing the good work that Don built up with VITA, and we're so pleased for that. And the community is benefiting from that, so thank you so much. And
it's always a pleasure to be here, Chris.
And obviously, we're going to have you on again, even if it's only to plug VITA a year from now, but I sense we'll have a bigger show.
The Bengal Financial Literacy Show, hosted by ISU's Chris Chatwin, can be heard every third Monday at 7:30 p.m. on KISU-FM. Shows are produced at the studios of KISU in Pocatello at Idaho State University, with editing for this show by Ben Graham and Mackenzie Young. Audio of this and all past episodes of Bengal Financial Literacy can be found at kisu.org or from Spotify and other select podcast services. Music was produced by Joseph Emmanuel under the direction of the ISU Commercial Music Program. Major funding support for KISU local programming comes from the Associated Students of Idaho State University.